All right, well, there we go. There is victory at the foot of the cross tonight. And if you don't have victory, well, kneel at the cross. Kneel at the cross. There is victory to be found. And I do want to mention a couple dates before we get into the message tonight. Again, we'll have it in next week's bulletin. But on the 15th is going to be our Christmas communion. Not really sure if in the morning or night. I'm leaning more toward the morning service so that those that aren't able to make it at night could come and be part of that in the morning. But we will finalize that soon. And then on the 22nd, in the morning service, is going to be our Christmas offering. And so remember that. And for those who are not familiar with that, new members, it has been a tradition around here for a number of years, and we're definitely continuing that. But it's a Christmas offering for the time of year, the birth of Christ, and all. It's all for Him. Of course, it's going into the church fund for the ongoing ministries here. So remember that on the 22nd, and I believe we have our children's Christmas program nailed down. I believe that's the 22nd as well, on Sunday morning. And so we're getting some things nailed down, and I wanted to give that to you. It's Sunday evening? Okay. Well, we got the nail in the wood. And so we will anyway. All right. Book of Acts tonight, chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. And I'll tell you, Brother Harold's in tune. Acts chapter number 4 tonight. And we're going to read in just a moment from verse number 13. And going in a totally different direction than we did this morning. And we spoke this morning on the subject of why we do what we do. And we were emphasizing the Great Commission and the method by which that is achieved, which is the local church. And we talked about the marks of succeeding in that mission, and that is fruit. But tonight we're going to go in a different direction. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we will summarize chapter number 3, actually, and then we'll get to chapter number 4 and bring what we feel the Lord has laid upon our heart for this. For this hour. Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name. We're thankful. And we're grateful for all things, Lord, that you have done in our lives personally here at Calvary. Lord, we're thankful for what you're doing now, the things that are visible, but we're also thankful for the things that are invisible that you're doing. We praise you for what you're going to do. Meet with us tonight through your word in a mighty way. And Lord, I pray that it'll be said that it was a blessing being here tonight, and that we were encouraged as by being here as a result of being here tonight. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name, amen. The book of Acts. In just a moment, we're going to read from verse number 13, chapter 4. I do want to say though, in chapter number 3, we have the account of Peter and John. Verse number 1, as they went up together into the temple, the Bible says, at the hour of prayer, and being the ninth hour. And we know that there was a certain lame man there. And the lame man, the Bible says in verse 4, Peter fastened his eyes upon him. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." Verse 5, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And this lame man, he was, of course, day in and day out. He was at the gate called Beautiful there at the temple. And he had his cup out every day. He was receiving alms. And he was expecting to receive something. And not really sure if he expected to be healed or not, but he got healed. And the Bible says that he actually stood to his feet, verse 7, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And this was an amazing thing that took place during this hour there at the temple, the gate called Beautiful. We know that there was great amazement over this miracle. If you look in verse number 10, the Bible says, "And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." Verse number 11, the last two words says, "Greatly wondering." And so this was a miracle performed. And it touched many lives, not only the one who received the healing, but it touched many lives. And everybody was, they were in awe. They were greatly wondering how that this happened. And we know that Peter got in preaching mode. And not only did he perform a miracle by the power of God, but he started preaching God and preaching Jesus. Verse number 13, the God of Abraham. Verse number 14, he talks about how that they denied the Holy One and the just one, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Talking about Barabbas versus Jesus being released. So Peter is in preaching mode now, and the people have seen this great miracle take place. And then we get into chapter 4. And in chapter 4, notice verse number 1, because things kind of change for the worst. In verse number 1 of chapter 4, the Bible says, "And as they spake unto the people," talking about the Word of God and who God is, and talking about the miracle and everybody being in amazement and wonder. "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved." They were grieved that this miracle happened because of the name that they chose to raise this man up in, the name of Jesus. "Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole." And so now this miracle has created some mayhem. And Peter is preaching that it's by the name of Jesus that they raised this man. And yet here's the lame man, and it is evident what happened to him. It is so evident that by the name of Jesus that they raised this man, and it is so evident that he has been healed, because many times, many days, he was at that gate. But something happened to him, and it was amazing. And all the people were greatly wondering. And yet in chapter 4, in verse number 1, down through verse number 10, we see that the Sadducees and the scribes, they were grieved because it was through the name of Jesus. So a lot's taking place here. And now notice, if you would, in verse number 13, that's where I want to begin reading as our text verses. The Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And so we have this crowd over here that were already amazed at the healing. And now we have these others, the religious people, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, trying to find fault. Now, they were amazed that they'd been with Jesus. Verse number 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could not say anything against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And notice this, and we cannot deny it. Again, there's a lot of things taking place. This man was healed and the people marveled greatly. They were in amazement. And then in chapter 4, in verse number 1 starting, we have these that were arguing against the means of him being healed. But now, they were even amazed. And now because the lame man standing next to Peter and John, they were shocked. Notice verse number 14, that last phrase, that last sentence, they say, the Bible says, they could not say anything against it. Verse number 16, that last phrase here, the last four words, we cannot deny it. I want to use that thought tonight, and I want to preach a few moments on this subject or this word, the word undeniable. Undeniable. You see, in this story, in this account here in the book of Acts, there was something undeniable that took place. And that was that Jesus healed this man. It was through his name, by his grace, and for his glory, he was healed. It was undeniable. But in these verses, verse number 13 through 16, there are also some other things that were undeniable. And tonight I want to just for a few moments look into these things that are undeniable, undeniable things that were found in the life of Peter and John. The Bible says in verse 13, that latter phrase, that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Again, in verse number 14 and 16, them two phrases there, they could not say anything against it. We cannot deny it. We know that they healed this man, and also they're taking knowledge that they've been with Jesus. Undeniable. Undeniable. And I want to relate this to our life. Because if we voice that we're Christians and we belong to Jesus, there ought to be some undeniable things found in our life. Now, the first thing I want to mention is found in verse number 13. And the first undeniable thing found here was their education. Their education was undeniable. Notice again in verse number 13, the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. These men, Peter and John, I mean, it was, the Bible says they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. Which means that by the way they talked and by the way they walked even, it portrayed that they were uneducated. And so we see that there was this uneducation. Their education was undeniable. Notice the word unlearned here. And perceived they were unlearned. The word unlearned literally means unlettered. It means unlettered. Unlettered having to do with knowing the scriptures in the Old Testament. In the scriptures of the Jews from which the scribes took their name. They were knowledgeable in the laws of God, the Old Testament. Scripture, scribes, and so they knew and they studied well the law of God, but they said that they perceived that they were unlearned, unlettered. They didn't know anything about the Old Testament like the scribes knew about the Old Testament. And at least they were perceiving that they were unlearned. But also, we see the word ignorant here. It says, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. The word ignorant means, or it's through the idea of a private person. It means without office or calling. It means a common man. And the word ignorant also is translated today to the word idiot or ignoramus. It's there. Look it up. And so it was undeniable that these two men were unlearned and that they were ignorant men. They were ignoramuses. All these religious people were looking at these two men and said, how in the world did they do this? They're ignorant men. They're unlearned men. They don't know the letter like we know the letter. They don't know the law of God like we know the law of God. They are unlearned and ignorant men. How in the world could they do such a thing? And so they were trying to piece the puzzle together. But I also read that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, we see that that's the kind of people that God uses, is ignorant and unlearned people. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 1, notice if you would in verse number 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many notable are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things that are or which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why does God do that? Why does God use ignorant and unlearned people, the things that are despised of this world? Why does God use people of such a stature that have came up from the hedges, so to speak, or the gutters of the world? Look at verse number 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. God takes a person of little or none education. He takes educated. He takes all kinds of people. But in the sense we're speaking about, he takes an uneducated person and saves them. And he uses them and he raises them up for his glory. Ignorant, unlearned. And the Bible says here in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 1, it says, not many mighty. Remember the story of Gideon? We just preached the other Sunday about it. And God paid a visit to Gideon. Thou mighty man of valor. Gideon didn't view himself mighty. But he was a man of fear at that particular time. He was hiding from the enemy. But yet God chose him and God used him and viewed him as a mighty man. In verse number 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And back in our text verses, the Bible says that they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. But notice, Acts 4 verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Doesn't matter how ignorant you are. Hey, Mr. Ignorant up here. Mr. Unlearned up here. When God saved me and God called me, I didn't know anything about God. But there's one thing about it tonight. It is even playing fields. Listen, if we just spend time with Him in prayer and getting God's Word and yield ourselves to Him by the power of the Holy Spirit, people can take knowledge that you've been with Christ too. And that's the goal tonight, is to be like Jesus. And so that's what we see in the Word tonight, that these men, although they were trying to find fault, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they could not help to notice, well, man, these boys did something amazing, and it was by Jesus' name and through Jesus' name. And there's the lame man that was sitting there for all that length of time, but now he's standing and he was healed by Jesus. And these men, I perceive they're ignorant and unlearned, but there's something about it. They've been with Jesus because we've seen Jesus when he was here. And he was healing and he was preaching with boldness. And that's the same kind of things I see in these men. It can be said of us tonight that people see Jesus in us. Don't you want somebody to see Jesus in you? Listen, I want people to see Jesus in me. Although education and social status and standard and things along those lines, listen, none of those things matter. Because if you want to be noted as someone who follows Jesus, if you want someone to say, hey, they have been with Jesus, it is possible. It is very possible. And so we see their education was undeniable. The Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The maniac man of Gadara, he went from a maniac demon to a divine messenger, all because of Jesus. What about Onesimus we shared this morning, all because of Jesus? He left down a broken road running from his master, one who took care of him. But then he ran into Paul in prison, we do believe, because Paul had mentioned that it was his son begotten, that he begotten his son. And Paul was in prison at that time. But then Onesimus came right back down that same road, but it was a blessed road. God blesses the broken road. And God can use us regardless. Their education was undeniable, but then I want you to notice a second thing that was undeniable. Their stance was undeniable. Their stance. Notice, if you would, in verse number 13 again, the Bible says, now when they saw the boldness. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. There was a boldness there. The same boldness, hesitancy to share the word like Jesus did in that day was also seen in Peter and John. The miracles performed that Jesus did when it was seen by many of these same people was now seen in Peter and John. If you look down in verse number 18, notice their stance that is continued. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Notice what he says in verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Peter and John said, listen, we walked with Jesus. We talked with him. I mean, he trained us, so to speak. And now by the name of Jesus, we raised this man up. And now he is healed. He said, I have seen way too many miracles to be quiet. I have seen God work, Jesus work in our life far too long to remain quiet. You know what I think the problem in America is that us Christians who have walked with God and talked with God and He with us, and we've seen miracles in our life and miracles in our families' lives. Listen, there has been a falling away of taking a stance and seeing that and preaching Jesus and sharing Jesus to the world. There's been a loss of that in our day. But I want to say the same way Peter and John said in verse number 24, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They took a stance and it was undeniable. I won't go into great detail. But there's someone that nobody goes to church here, nobody that's affiliated with anybody here. But they're a professed Christian. And we have met probably 5-6 years ago a couple times, and we've prayed together, studied together. And you know, now Jesus isn't spoken of by that person. That person isn't even in church. That person is advertising worldly things about what's going on in their life. I mean, that doesn't show that someone's been with Jesus, does it? I mean, what happened to the stance they used to take? I mean, it breaks my heart to see someone that you used to look up to, that took a stance at one time of their life. They used to, I mean, undoubtedly, yes, Jesus is my Savior, and I'm called to preach, and you know, Jesus did all these miracles, but now you couldn't find Jesus with a search warrant in their life. That's heartbreaking. Somewhere along the line, that line that was drawn in the sand was just rubbed out. I mean, it's heartbreaking. Someone who used to talk with the Lord, who was influential in your life, who was even a mentor even. Now, oh, look what I can do. Look how I prospered in the world, and look where I'm going with them. I even read a little note that they wrote. At least they put it out there publicly, and they said, well, this is a long, hard path I'm on, but I know that there's glory at the end of it. Really? A long, hard path pursuing worldly things and listen, the things that I'm talking about are all for self. Bodybuilding. Look at me and all dieting and bodybuilding and all of these things. These are just so hard to do, and it's a very lonely path. Really? I tell you, a lonely path. But it's not a lonely path in such a way of being abandoned. We have Jesus. It's following the Lord and taking up your cross and following Him and saying no to self and saying no to sin. Sometimes that can be a lonely path. We have a guide on our path. We're never fully alone. We're never ever alone. But then they're making them statements. I thought to myself, I got to quit looking at this. I'm getting angry. Because you see, it all goes back to, if we say we're a Christian, we ought to draw that line in the sand. And we ought not to turn our back on God. And whatever He has done, He is still worthy to be praised of tonight as we speak. And Peter and John, it was undeniable. The Bible says that they perceived that through their boldness that they've been with Jesus. And then they said that in verse number 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter said, listen, He's done far too much for me not to speak. In fact, the miracles that He's done in my life and calling me from a life of a fisherman and bad habits and bad words and all of that, Jesus had made me a fisher of fish into a fisher of men. There is no way that I cannot be quiet about this. Church, listen. It's time to take a stand for Jesus. It's time to draw the line in the sand. It's time to say that sin is sin and wrong is wrong and right is right. It's time to start leading our homes. It's time to start being the dads we should be. It's time to start being the husbands we should be, all for Jesus. They took a stance that was undeniable. But notice in verse number 8. The Bible says they perceived, they saw their boldness. But in verse number 8, the Bible tells us where their boldness came from. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you know how you get filled with the Holy Ghost? It isn't saying, oh, okay, John, it's time to go to church. Let's hop into our church clothes and go, not spending no time with Jesus at all. That ain't how you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, we know through salvation that we have all of God's where everyone again. We have all the Holy Spirit. But you see, it's a process for the Holy Spirit to get all of us. And Peter and John, no doubt, they spent all these times with Jesus while he was here, especially the time on the shore, come and dine in the fish and the breakfast they had. Time with Jesus. And that specific time with Jesus was a time of conviction. When Peter knew he had turned his back on the Lord. And Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And the third time, it grieved Peter. Sometimes our time with Jesus is a time of conviction, but it's a time of transformation. And Peter and John, when they went to the temple at the ninth hour, they were ready for temple service. They were ready for temple worship. And so they said in verse number 4 of chapter 3, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Peter said, look upon us, because they've been with Jesus. They spent time with him, communing and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. He said, hey, I'm one you can look upon. Can we say that tonight? Can we say, hey, listen, you need direction in your life. Come here, talk to me. Look upon me. I've been with Jesus. So the Bible says that they said, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter was ready. Peter was confessed. Peter was striving. Peter was ready. Peter wasn't perfect, but his priorities were in line. And when he seen that man, he said, listen, you're wanting money. I can't give you money. And now, let me rephrase that. Money is not going to fix your problem. For years, people's been giving you money. He said, silver or gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Let me say this. A lot of people in our day think that money is going to fix their problems. It's not money. It's Jesus. And Peter said, silver or gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And with all authority, he said that, spending time with him, he rose up and he walked. And that's what we see here. And then we get back to our verses in chapter number 4. And they are taking this stance. And in verse number 8 of chapter number 4, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, Peter had spent time with God. He'd spent time. He had talked with the Lord, communed with him. And because of that, he had boldness. You know what it's going to take for us, starting with me, to everybody in here, to be a witness in Powder Springs? Listen, this flesh will run off every time you run into somebody. I know. It's going to take time with God. It's going to take time of confession. It's going to take time of Lord, I've missed the mark again, but Lord, I want to try to hit it again. It's going to take time in prayer. It's going to take time of reading God's word. And then when you're yielding to him in the light that you have, slowly and surely the Holy Spirit fills you so that you can achieve these things that God wants you to achieve. And then when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then we can stand up with all authority and with all boldness and say what they said, preached, taught, spoke, and been a blessing. You see, this a stance that was undeniable. They told them in verse number 18 again, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter said, John said, we've seen too much. We're going to speak. And all of that is to be accomplished. Their boldness came through companionship. Companionship. It was undeniable at their stance they took. Their education was undeniable, yet God used them. But then lastly, I want you to notice, their characteristics was undeniable. Back again in verse number 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Their characteristics was undeniable. It was evident Peter and John had been with Jesus. Number one, they had been with Jesus in person for at least 3.5 years, watching him, studying him, following him, seeing his gospel presentation, seeing miracles performed. And now Jesus had already ascended back into heaven at the right hand of the Father. So now the Holy Spirit is in them. And it's through his Spirit that gave them the boldness to speak of Jesus and take a stand. And it was through his Spirit for the performing of the miracles during this time. And now the scribes and Pharisees take notice that they have been with Jesus. The same Jesus that walked then is the same Jesus that's in our hearts tonight, if we know him. And I want to say tonight that people can take knowledge that you have been with Jesus. The same that walked on the shores of Galilee, the same that said, "Come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men," is the same Jesus that's in us tonight. And so there can be characteristics in our life where you'll see a person and watch a person and be around a person. You say, man, there's just something about them that reminds me of Jesus. Peter and John were with him for 3.5 years at least. And now Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And now the Holy Spirit is within Peter and John. And the Pharisees, the scribes and all the rest said, man, take a knowledge of them that they've been with Jesus. A person, listen to this, a person in habitual contact with Christ will have residue from him. It is impossible to intentionally, habitually enter in the throne room of grace and say, I want to be like Jesus, I confess, I draw nigh to, get in his word and walk away without. It is impossible to spend time with Jesus and not have any residue. It is impossible to spend time with Christ if we are really in that holy place to walk away with no sweet aroma of Christ in your life. It's impossible. Because when we spend time with him intentionally, habitually spend time with him, people are going to see Christ in us. I'll give you an illustration, I'll be through. I remember growing up, living with my grandparents, especially through my teen years. They were there. They lived in their house, still living there today. Going on 60 years. Mom and Dad moved around a lot, so as Mom and Dad chose to move back to Mississippi with a car full of stuff, giving us the option to go or stay, I chose to stay because my grandparents were unmovable. And so through my teen years and my wild years, only by the grace of God I'm standing here tonight, my grandfather had a certain cologne he wore. Old Spice. It was either cologne or aftershave. I think it was an aftershave. That weird shaped bottle. You know, kind of, I don't know, butterscotch color maybe. Tan. Old Spice. And I remember that he would splash himself, and man, we'll go somewhere. That stuff is strong, just Old Spice. I'm ready to get on that boat and sail away. Nothing wrong with that smell. You know, I mean, fragrance in the fragrance department, we've come a long way. But there was never a time that I walked away from him and I didn't smell like Old Spice cologne. I mean, it was just so strong. And, you know, I was with him. We were riding, going here and there, and then come back to the house. And I'd leave and go somewhere, have a friend pick me up. Man, what's that? You got on some old stuff, don't you? I said, well, actually, my grandpa had it. And I was with him all day. And I smell like him. Guess what?
we intentionally, habitually spend time with Jesus, we're going to smell like him. He's going to rub off on us. I mean, contrasted to, well, I have to spend time with Jesus, you ain't going to smell like him. You know, I have to read my Bible, you ain't going to smell like him. I better pray so I can check that off my list. I'm not going to smell like him, but that's my attitude. But if my attitude is, Lord, I want to be like you. Lord, I can't face today without you. Lord, the burdens that are out there are much bigger than I can bear. Jesus, I need you to bear my burden. And when I enter the throne room of grace with that in my heart, I'm telling you, I will walk away dying to show somebody compassion. I will walk away from that time with Jesus dying to have mercy on someone. I will walk away from that meeting with Jesus in prayer and Bible study and all the rest. I go into a department, doesn't matter where it is. I'm dying to tell somebody about Jesus. It's undeniable when someone has been with Jesus. The message tonight is simply that, is that God took two men, Peter and John. They were perceived as ignorant and unlearned, but listen, didn't really matter, did it? Because they had been with Jesus. God used them in a very mighty way. I want to say tonight that God wants to continue to use everyone here. I want the Lord to use me. I want him to continue to use you as well. And if they want to come with a song tonight, we'll give a verse of invitation. Undeniable things. Their education was undeniable. Their stance was undeniable. They spake boldly. And it came from that companionship with the Holy Spirit. But then their characteristics were undeniable. They had time with Jesus. Those 3.5 years watched them, studied them. Now he ascended back in heaven and deposited his Spirit within Peter and John and all the rest who believed. That's what energized them and gave them power, but also same characteristics. It was seen. It was took knowledge of that they were with Jesus. Tonight, those of us that are saved, we can be like Jesus. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. We pray that all of us would continually long to meet with you, to be like you, so we can reach a lost and dying world. As we spoke this morning, the Great Commission is much too big for us without being with Jesus. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come, you can come and pray.